That'll work. That'll work there. The rest of the scripture I'll just read to you guys as we go throughout. I'll give it to you so you can write it down. I apologize. It worked great for the first service, so it must be you. That's all I can say. So I apologize. It may pop back up at some point, but I'll guide and direct you later on. Blessed are. So he went through different ones. I don't think he ever got the peacemaker. If he did, it wouldn't hurt us to learn it again. This is one that I want to help you. Blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew 5:9, for they shall be called the sons of God. Can we be real with each other? Everyone has a level of dysfunction. How many of you want people to be in your house every hour of every day? Yeah. Our house is, we have a level of dysfunction in our house, all right? Try not to laugh too much. It's the truth, right? We have a level of dysfunction. Here's the thing. Churches have dysfunction. Nations, communities, we all have it. A season of strife is one thing. A life of strife is another. So what do you mean by that? Well, we're all going to have times where we just have, what just happened? What just went? It's another thing when you are constantly just going through one season after another, all right? So what we want to be is this. We want to be a peacemaker. The Bible doesn't tell us to be a peacekeeper. What does a peacekeeper do? Well, a peacekeeper is somebody who is, they try to avoid conflict. Now, these are people that normally sit back. Maybe they want to share their opinion sometimes, but they're afraid to post their opinion because they don't want the overwhelming amount of people on the other. They're just like, I just want to do my best to avoid. I don't want to be that person. Can I tell you something? I'm with you. I will do my best at times to avoid and evade conflict. Here's the problem, all right? When we do that, we escape the conflict. We actually create more conflict, and we escape the overall conflict that is needed to keep peace. You cannot have peace without a little bit of conflict in your life. You can't have a strong marriage if you don't have two strong people. If you don't have two strong people, then you're going to have one that always sits back and takes it. You're going to have two people that your wills are going to meet at times, and you're going to have what is called a healthy discussion. Okay? There's sometimes, though, in your life, you have to have conflict to have overall peace. My daughter is 12 years old. More and more, I'm realizing that there's some issues of conflict that I have to have with her to have a peaceful life for her. It's not fun. There's times I wish I could just let her go, do her own thing, but you have to have that. As a pastor, to have a church that has peace, I have to be willing to have discussions with you all within the scripture, sometimes outside of scripture, like we had to begin with, but sometimes in the scripture that is willing to have a little bit of conflict to it. Without that conflict, we will not grow as a people. We will not grow as a church. If we don't learn that sometimes how we say things really matters, if we don't learn that how when you said that word in that context, it wasn't helpful, if we don't learn that, we are never going to have the proper growth and the proper peace that comes along with that. So peacekeepers try to avoid. Peacemakers, we embrace conflict to make peace. We work through an issue, not around an issue, all right? So what oftentimes, and we did this as a church for many, many years, I would try to avoid conflict, avoid issues, avoid problems, thinking that they're eventually going to fix themselves. I would go around that. It's something that I had to fully repent of. I mentioned our friend Brian earlier. Our friend Brian came alongside, and he sat down with me lovingly. He sat down with some of our leaders lovingly, and here's what he lovingly said to us. In trying to avoid a lot of conflict, you actually created a lot more conflict, and you were hurt often because you weren't willing to stand up and stand for truth. And the peace that you thought that you were bringing, you actually brought more trouble into your life. Right now, a lot of churches are just deciding, hey, why don't we team up with somebody else? And a lot of pastors over the past few years have just said, you know what? This is just crazy. I am just exhausted and I am just tired of the constant conflict of the world around us. How many of you would admit you're tired? Just tired. Just a few of us? I mean, it's tired. Like, it's okay. Like, again, we're a type of church that wants to avoid that conflict as a people, right? We normally embrace that. So even when I said that, it was like, well, I don't want to let, you know, I'm just tired of velvet. You know, it's like I'm just tired, right? I'm exhausted. So it comes along with it. It's understandable. So peacemakers, we embrace the conflict, not because we're looking for a fight, but we realize that an overall has to be done. Peace is not the absence of conflict itself, but it's the presence of God in the conflict, okay? How do we know this? People say, man, I just wish we had that old-time church, right? How old of a church do you want? You want the oldest, you want the best. Friend, I don't say this sarcastically, but I'm going to say it. Have you ever read the book of Acts? Did you see what happened to that church? Did you see the conflict that was within them? Have you ever read Paul's writings when he says, you know, all the times I was beat, I was left naked, I was left almost dead, I was stoned, I was, you know, just for what? For willing to try to bring peace to people in their life. We know that if people don't have Jesus in their life, they won't have peace. The Bible is very clear. It tells people, it says, don't you tell people that they have peace with that when they don't have peace. You have to stand up and you have to be truthful. You have to realize that this, it's not the absence of conflict, it's the presence of God within that conflict, so that when you stand up and you say something that's truthful, you know that God's in the midst of it. It's tough. Nobody likes to have this drama in their life. The word Christian has almost gotten, as we've talked about before, hijacked by people, where I almost like the word Christ-centered even more. Because although as a Christian I'm a follower of Jesus, some people say they're a Christian, they're not Christ-centered at all. In fact, his words are far from them. They like to pick and choose. And so just me saying this, it'll bring a conflict. But these are discussions that we have to have. If we do not have the proper discussions within our church, within our homes, within our lives, the world will not get better. It will continue to get crazier. Romans 12, 17 through 21. I'm going to read some verses. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As a church, we have gotten in the past really month, but it's been going on 2 months, people that have had issues I can't get into, but I'm not talking about, like, you know, which would be down here, which is, pastor, pray for me, my spouse is nuts, they're driving me crazy. By the way, the fact that I haven't left the house in 10 weeks may have a little bit to do with it. You know, like things like that. Like, because we've all had a little bit of that. It's called, you know, the craziness of what's gone on. Many people at some point, including myself, have lost their mind for a short amount of time, only to hopefully try to gain it back. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking like stuff, I can't share with you what it is, but I mean like level... And I mean stuff. In the 8 years I've been doing this, I've gotten more in the last month than the 8 years overall of just like level, whatever that is. And one of the times I was talking with somebody, I was talking with them right back there, and it's kind of funny. I couldn't share the whole story because I didn't know, we had someone in the earlier service, I didn't know where they were at on this, and so. Hopefully all of you know that some of these things are not real. If not, I hate to break it to you at the age that you are. We were sitting with someone in the back, and I said to them, I said, hey, tell me what you think about God. I need to know. The reason why I need to know is that how what somebody's view of God is actually determines their overall outlook on life, period. And here's what they said to me. They said, well, you know, when I was a kid, I believed in the Tooth Fairy and I believed in Santa Claus. And it was a nice thing. I'd get gifts and I'd get whatever, and the Easter Bunny. But, you know, when I got older, I just come to realize that that was all just nice, but, you know, it just wasn't true. So if somebody wants to believe in God like I used to believe in the Easter Bunny, and I used to believe in Santa Claus, they're welcome to it, but we all know he's not real. Okay? Now, there's a couple things when that person said that that I really wanted to just... Okay? The spirit inside of me was like, what did Jesus say? You enter a city, you're preaching, kick the dust off your feet, they haven't rejected you. The flesh in me wanted to say, so let me get this right. You think that me believing in God is the equivalent of you when you were a kid believing in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, and if I want to believe that's okay, I can enjoy my childish mindset. But you're the one that came to me for help. So if I'm that messed up, how messed up are you? That's what my flesh wanted to say, like in a sarcastic way, which I can be very sarcastic if I'm not careful. That's what I wanted to say. But after that person said that, here's what they said. They said this, and this is something that all atheists have to wrestle with. They said, look, I have a standard that I believe, and you have a standard that you believe. They said, you know, they didn't say what their standard was, but they said, your standard probably is that God's overall, and if people don't believe. And so I just let them talk. By the time the whole thing was done, I let them know. I said, look, this time was just for you to get to know me to get to know you. I would love to talk more and more with you. You came as a complete mess. You know that I'm a pastor. We're in a church where I'm literally looking at a cross behind us. The next time we talk, if you would like to come back and talk to me, I'm going to answer a lot of the questions that you don't realize why you don't have answers to within Jesus is who he was. If you want to get into that tonight, that's fine. But tonight I gave you a little bit of a pass. The next time we talk, you will not get a pass in the God area with me because I am a follower of Jesus. That's who I am. I just wanted you to get to know me first. And if you want to continue the conversation, now we can. But the next time we talk, you will not have a choice. We will have that conversation. All right? I have to be honest with people. I'm not going to be a moralist like they are. Here's why what has happened in our society allows us to be an awesome witness, but most of us don't see it. Okay? It goes along with what's hidden in these verses. The Bible says that we don't repay evil with evil. We do it with good because the Bible teaches us that God is up above and it's his vengeance that repays everything. Okay? So, therefore, when I watch a video of a grown person being choked out like an animal on the ground, with bystanders around, with people watching, when I see them crying out for their mom, when I see things that honestly made me sick. And I don't mean a little sick, I mean made me sick. I can look at that and I can go, that's evil, that's disgusting, that's wrong. Because I have a standard, which is that all men and women are created in the image of God. The Bible says, when you say it doesn't matter the person's color or race, well, when Paul wrote to the church in Galatians, he said there's no bond, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female, there's no Jew, there's no Greek, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Gone. When Jesus died, did he die for just, you know, those he liked, those he didn't? He's like, I'm sorry, you're out. The Bible tells us that he died for the what? The sins of the whole world. He did away with man-made religion of the past. It's Jesus. Other religions don't do that. You have some of your religions in Eastern cultures that teach that if someone is in a down state, that you don't help them out because they're repaying an evil of a past life. They believe in what's called reincarnation. So if you see somebody down like that, you don't help out the poor, because if you do that, you're actually hurting them because they're repaying something of their past. All right? There's some, the fastest growing religion in the world today actually teaches people that if you don't follow their law, you're an infidel. All right? So when it comes to these things, we have a standard and we can see that. Here's the flip side of that, all right? When we see someone get killed like that, we can go, hey, that's wrong. You're not supposed to kill. Then when we see people look at a death, get upset, and start to loot and destroy property, we can say, whoa, not only are you not supposed to kill, you're not supposed to steal. Okay? What we're seeing now is people that don't have God at their standard go, that was horrible. I need to fix that. Well, what's right to me is not right to you. So the fact that you did wrong, I can take of what you have and I can take and destroy. You killed an innocent life, I can kill one back. You see, to my friends who would say what happened with this situation, as a Christian witness, you know what we can do when someone says that was wrong? Okay, why was it wrong? Because to the officer that did it, he didn't think it was wrong. I saw the look in his eyes. I saw his face. He thought it was okay in that moment to play God. So why was it wrong? He followed his moral compass. You see, part of being a follower of Jesus is knowing why something is wrong, and also knowing that in this life, that which doesn't get taken care of definitely gets taken care of in the next. You see, I can get upset and I can get sick and I can get frustrated, but if I know that a God in heaven says, I will repay that, you think me throwing a brick through a window is what, as bad as what God is going to one day do to a world filled with sin? A holy, righteous God is saying, you don't repay evil, I will take care of the evil in this world. You show the example of the love of Jesus, and you have a way to share that. Look, I'll be honest with you. Many of us have not seen the example to have our gospel message preached now more than ever because of this one reason. We're mad because we can't get a haircut, and I'm with you. Okay? I can't hide the gray. I can't do whatever. I'm mad. All right? And I'm like, I got to wait 10 more days. I don't know. I just want to buzz it all off again. My wife won't let me. All right? So I'm not as tough as what I think. I try to avoid conflict by letting my wife win. So that's one of those things. She's going to hurt me, lady. Please help. So I want you to understand that. Look, God's in control. He will take care. Now, one of the reasons why we can talk about these things today is, again, because we have a standard. That's Jesus Christ. For those of us that are saved, the Bible says we're not our own. We're bought with a price, which is the blood of Jesus. So we don't just get to have our own opinion and do what we want and say what we want. We have to apply it to the truth that is within him. That's why standing on truth is much more important than standing on something preferential on the side. I want you to understand that. We have to talk about these things. Ephesians 4:11 through 15 says this, and he gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, the measure of the stature of Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth in love. That's hard. What I just said the last 5 minutes, if somebody were to clip that up and put that on the internet, I'd be in a lot of trouble. If they took it and twisted it for the way they wanted to. Speaking the truth is not easy. It's a lot easier just to share some random Bible verse and get out the way. But speaking the truth is not easy. Looking at someone and saying, hey, look, I love you, but the way you just said that was actually very racist, and let me tell you why. We need to stop that type of terminology. That is hard to do. Oftentimes we shake. We go through. Listen, this is why those of us who have the truth of God need to speak up, because there's too many people that claim to have the love of God that are speaking up that should not. How many of you have looked online and been like, okay, why is that guy the one that is the mouthpiece of Christianity? Is there a way for someone to delete him or her? Okay? Why? Because we're seeing people that are not speaking the truth in love. They don't have that ability. Look, there's no way for me to be truthful and have everyone agree with me. I understand that. That does not give me the right, though, to be a jerk. Also, what I don't want to do is I don't want to be cunning and crafty. I don't want to have a church that's tossed about with every wind of doctrine. One of the reasons why I tell people to ground yourself in the truth of the Bible is it stops you from justifying what's going on in the world around us. In the last 20 years, both of our parties in this country politically have gone radically out of control. And what you believed 20 years ago, if you were a Democrat, doesn't compare to what it is now. And if you're a Republican 20 years ago, it doesn't compare to what it is now by far. And if you align yourself with that, you are forced to get sucked into that. It's actually not hard to do if you get trapped in some sort of a thought scheme like that, but if you're not grounded in the Word of God, and actually getting up and saying these things is very difficult for people to understand and have that. We have to be people that are peaceful. Now, how in the world do we get just a little bit of help here as we have some verses we're going to read here in James here in a moment, but how in the world, Nate, do we at least, can you give me some help? Okay, well, the first thing is we talked about the truth in love. That's to approach people in a loving way. One of the ways that you're going to know if you're ready to speak is what I'm going to say, is it going to be helpful to the person involved? Am I approaching lovingly, or am I just ticked off at the world around me and someone's about to get it? If you can, find a time that there is not conflict in that moment. All right? When your husband is in the middle of about to cuss out the water heater because it's broken, he's trying to fix it, and he's in the back of the water heater and he's saying things that you're hoping he's speaking in tongues because you don't know what's coming out of his mouth, okay? That is probably not the time to bring up something of conflict within your life, all right? That's probably not the time. Bring it up, and best, if possible. Some of the things that I'm talking about today, I don't know if it's ever going to slow down, and so we can't just wait for that. But if you can wait a little bit, it'll be okay. Here's some helpful things, too. Address the issue and not the person. The issue and not the person. When you start to attack the person and not the issue, it's going to go south really quick, all right? Here's some helpful things. Don't stew and then spew. The corona times, sorry. All right, we don't want to think about this. One of the reasons why they said try to, when you have church, spread people out, was because when you talk, stuff comes out of your mouth besides the voice, spittle, whatever it is, all right? That can go out into the air. That gets people there. Listen, before you start to spew, don't sit there and stew on it. You're sitting there all day thinking about it, getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Look, don't do that. And then, again, before you spray, pray. Just pray about it. Pray about it. But understand, look, if I have to say something, I have to say something. As we talk about these issues of racism in our society, the person that is racist is not going to get cured without somebody approaching them. They're not. They don't think that what they're doing is wrong. There's one example I gave earlier that I can give now, is that one way that we can kind of help and absolve is this. Have you ever noticed when you're talking to people sometimes, they'll say, hey, you know, I met so-and-so at the store, and she was a really nice black lady. Yeah, I met, Pastor, I invited a family to church. It was a really nice Mexican family. Okay, question. Why did you have to mention their race? Why? You didn't. But why did you mention it? That's when you start to talk about systematic issues that came up. You probably heard your family talk that way. You probably heard your relatives talk that way. You might have heard your parents talk that way because they grew up in a different era. You have to think and process these things. Because if you don't look at people as equal, then you will start to judge them differently. And again, no one is as elite as what they think. The population of the United States compared to the population of the whole world, we're not in control. We're not as bad as what we think. Here's the deal. If God looks at us all the same, we're not as important as what we think to him either. So we have to stop viewing people in the lens of, if there's not a reason for you to bring up a conversation of that, that's one way to stop. But the person that's doing that, if you don't say something, they're not going to stop. They can't. But you have to understand, too, that when you're talking with somebody, you have to help them in the process. Because if you want someone to quit, you have to be able to show God's love. The Bible tells us that the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. So us just getting mad and yelling at people, it may make the people that agree with me happy, but it's not going to help the people around us. And it's definitely not going to strive for peace within us, all right? James chapter number 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. I love it. James is like, hey, those of you that want to teach, most of you shouldn't. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. All right? So sometimes people will see somebody else preach and they'll be like, oh, why, Pastor, why don't you let me do that? Listen, it's not that, trust me, it's not great. Let's single out Mark this morning. Mark has taught up here before. Do you realize that because Mark has done that, he actually will be judged way harder than the average person who does not? Now, he was already judged by you all for what he said when he was saying it. That's different. But he will actually be judged one day by God. So James is teaching us here. He says, for you know that who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So when we actually share who God is with other people, before you open up your mouth, you better make sure that you're doing it properly. Because before you do that, whether obviously within a church setting, but also at work, when you're a mouthpiece and you're trying to teach and do things, you better understand that when we open up our mouths for God, you better speak properly on his behalf, okay? Is there anything more frustrating than when somebody takes you out of context? I will say absolutely not for me, all right? Verse number 2, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Verse number 4, look at the ships also, that they are large and are driven by a strong wind. They are guided by a very small rudder, whether the will of the pilot directs. How many of you, Daryl's got a boat. Dennis used to have that pontoon. It's amazing how big a boat is. It can be 20 feet, 24 feet, and the whole boat is directed by, behind the boat, a little rudder that goes. And however you turn that, that's how this whole massive boat is going to go. The same thing with the horse it talks about, when you put the bit in the mouth, okay? So wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest fire is set ablaze by such a small fire. Look at the world around us. and how chaotic it's been, and it all started. I know it's been going on before that, but what we have right now all started because of one event. What right now? Okay. It does not take much to cause problems in your life. Your mouth is the smallest but the biggest part of your body. And it talks about here, it says it's set on fire by hell. Whoa. I want you to understand something. It's setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and the Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursings. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Okay. We have in our state the Great Lakes. Whenever we've gone swimming in them, or we've never been like, is this fresh water today or is this salt water? We know that our lakes are what? Unsalted. There's people make t-shirts and do stuff. We know it's fresh water, all right? We have a small, where we live now, there's a small, if you go down across the road a little bit, down a hill, there's a small lake down there, all right? Sometimes Bub likes to go down there and just get his feet in the water, or he'll go on the dock and he'll throw a rock off. We don't ever worry and go, you know, I wonder, today I wonder if he could just go in there because if it's salt water, he'll float, but we know what type of lake that is, all right? When you go to the ocean, do you ever go, hey, is Tuesday unsalty Pacific day? Okay? No, you know what you're getting into, okay? A spring, you know it can be a fresh water or a salt water. But our tongue, can a fig tree bear olives or grape figs? Can a salt pond yield fresh water? Therefore, confess, oops, sorry, jumped ahead a little bit. You guys got excited. We only got two verses left to go, okay? So here it is. I want you to understand something. What the scripture is telling us here is this. Our tongues are the one thing that one minute we can say one thing and then say another. We call that being two-faced. One minute, you know, amazing grace, my chains are gone. Whatever we just sung, it is well with my soul. Sorry, I'm on camera and I'm horrible at singing. It's in my head. All right, so we're going through, we're doing that, but we're singing it is well with my soul 1 minute. Then we get in the car out of here. And where do you want to eat? I don't know, blankety blank, where do you want to eat? You know, I decided yesterday, blah, 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 you know. What the bleep? Like these things, you say that stuff doesn't happen to people that go to church. Please, okay? It happens all the time with people. These are things that when you do that, you don't understand the power that you have within your tongue and what you say and how that matters. Whatever we get up here and preach and teach, it's going to affect the people that listen. You're going to leave church today, and it's going to have affected you because of what you heard, okay? You have to understand something, that as we talk about these issues, we're wanting you to stand to the standard of truth, be peaceful with people, and understand what your tongue can do, all right? Here we go, 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and is working. Apologize specifically. In your apology, strive for peace. Be proper. Here's one word you have to remove from the apology if you want it to be helpful. It starts with I, ends with F. That would be if. The word if should only be used in a proper context. When I apologize to you, if I use the word if, what am I doing? I'm letting myself off the hook. I'm putting the guilt back on you. Next Sunday, I get up and go, listen, you know, I know I like to preach the Bible, and sometimes I say things that can be harsh. And, you know, if what I said at any point, if you took offense to it, if I offended you, I apologize. All right? First of all, we're not going to apologize for the scripture, so don't get that in your head. But second of all, if I were to say something like that, what would I have just done? Place the guilt off of me, back on you. In the weeks to come, I plan on having some conversations, not on a Sunday morning. I've talked to some of our people, we'll talk some more on some of these issues. And when I use if in this context, the proper context, if there's anyone within our church that would like to participate, it's not going to be PC. It's going to be honest with each other. It's going to be dialogue, and we're going to learn. And here's the deal. What we're going to do when we're done learning is we're going to say this in the proper context of if. If we find out that we've done something that has caused harm to any one of our brothers or sisters in Christ in this room, then we are going to fully repent and apologize. And our repentance and apology will not include the word if. It won't. We're not going to say something to those in our room that are you know, we would not say things like, hey, if we offended you, we're really sorry. If you're going to do something like that, don't waste your breath. You're better off not apologizing to someone than by insulting them. Understand that. To the best of your ability, Colossians 3:13 says this, bearing one another, and one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. As God forgave you, so you also must forgive. The Bible tells us this, as God forgave us, we are commanded to also forgive other people. So I'm happy that Jesus forgave all my sins. But I have to, if someone has a complaint, we're supposed to forgive, and we're not just supposed to forgive, we're supposed to forgive how God forgave us? Dude, God forgives like no man forgives. I know, that's why we have to lean on him. We have to forgive. We have to forgive. Do you know why we have to forgive? Because being a peacemaker isn't an option, it's a command. It's a command. In our church, I do not take a lot of things lightly. Our issues are not the issues of other churches out there. We are very diverse in who we are. That's awesome. I do not take lightly the fact that 30% of our men are African American in our church. I don't take lightly that we have, of our kids, a good percentage of them have some sort of special need, and they don't feel like they have a special need. They feel as one within our church. Our church's issues are not in reaching a diverse group of people. It's some growth issues, and we know that. One of the ways, though, that people don't understand when they ask these questions, and I've had some friends of mine, and you know, sometimes people say things ignorantly, and they say things because they'll pastor a church of a couple hundred people, and it'll be like 95%+ white, okay? And they'll say things, they'll be like, Nate, you know, and sometimes it's even higher than that. And they'll be like, Nate, man, I think it'd be great, you know, if you could, you know, and they'll say things, and they don't mean it to come out this way, but they'll say things like, yeah, I think it'd be great if you could bring, you know, your black guys over and show my people what it's like to be diverse. And I'm like, well, first of all, the reason why you're not diverse is because you don't refer to people as black guys, okay? But they don't mean it that way, but the thing is that people have to be people. All right, people know that they're different on the outside. But if we're all children of God, then we have to be willing to say, of most importance, we're just people. When Jesus saw a young man that had an issue with some special needs, because sometimes people say to me, they'll be like, hey, why don't you come preach at my church? I would like for my people to understand what special needs. We need to be better with special needs. It's like, well, the problem is because I understand what special needs is, but ultimately, you can't just want to have in a group of people and want them to be different. Everybody wants to be the same. The reason why we have a crying out in our society is because we have a group of people who think they are not included as one because of actions that have taken place over years of time towards them. Rightfully so. And as a result of that, when you treat one group of people like they're different, nobody likes that. Everybody wants to be as one. That's why we all come, we're all ground level at the foot of the cross. Rich, poor doesn't matter. Races don't matter. So we have to understand that, that we have to forgive and we have to use terminology of this. Is that my brother or is that my blank brother? Is that my son who happens to have autism? Or is that my autistic son? You say, well, that's just a play on words. No, actually, it reveals who I am on the inside. And that's why, as a people, we have to be peacemakers. And it may for us acknowledging to our friends and looking at someone in the eyes and saying, we were wrong. We shouldn't have done that. Thank you for putting up with our stupidity. And again, I'm not trying to build up a bank account with interest, but when I'm stupid again, can you let me know? Because I'm going to be. Not because I want to be, just because of who I am. I'm a fallen human being, but I want to learn and I want to grow. We have a level of truth together that we can grow and build off of. And we're going to do that as a church. We can both witness and we can show through actions of what Jesus did through us a drastic change in the world around us. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Listen, admitting that you were wrong doesn't mean that you were wrong in every area of your life. It just means that you were wrong in that specific area. And if my brothers are hurt, then I am hurt with them. If there's something that we can do to help that is within the full confines of Scripture, we're going to do it. And when the world around us is groaning and screaming out because they don't know where to do and what to go and they don't know how to, we have a standard. Let's live in it. I told our friends this morning, and I say this in love. Did you know that if the world was right tomorrow, we would still have church and we would still be able to preach the gospel and we would still be able to share truths from God's love? Did you know that if the world was fixed tomorrow, do you know who would suffer? The ratings on TV would go down. The talk radio pundits wouldn't have much to talk about. It's almost like they have an interest in our division. Do you say that to be sarcastic? Yep, I do. CNN, MSNBC, Fox. Every pastor that they bring on those stations are paid by the networks to speak. Follow the money. Where do you think it's going? The pastors that they bring on are already bent towards their network. They're able to take the scripture, use verses that they want to apply it to the people that are watching, so they know it'll fuel their ratings. Easy for me to say, I've never been asked to speak on TV, all right? But I understand that. But you have to understand that they're literally being able to fuel things around us. We have to think about these things. When people that prosper off of our chaos are the ones that are telling us how to fix the chaos, I want us to look at the world with the standard that we have through the eyes of Jesus. And to say, when I saw what happened, it wouldn't have mattered as much, but when you find out that the person that started going to Bible studies and just different things throughout their life, we don't know, but when you find out that that not only is that someone that we know as a fellow human, but that's someone that was a brother in Christ. And people said, well, he had some things in his past. So do I. So do you. Again, what does that have to do with the truth of what we see in God's Word? And And I want us to understand that as we see these things, if we have that level of truth to stand on, then we can properly be peacemakers. But we have to stop being peacekeepers. We have to stop. We want to lean on you, church. We want to learn. We want to grow. But we want to grow biblically. That's the importance. So as a church, let's get in the Word. Let's grow. Let's give. I'm going to pray and close out. We got some cool announcements. The end of the last service, I made a mistake because I was afraid. I was like, all right, we're gonna pray, and then we're going to get the money. And then the tape cut off, and I thought, that's not what I meant. I meant to say we're going to give, but oh well, it sounded bad. So just more fuel to somebody who doesn't want to be a peacemaker. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you would just